our second presenter, who is Dr. Alba Collard, who is an assistant extension professor in the Department of Agriculture Economics at Mississippi State University. She earned a PhD and MS degrees in Agriculture Economics from Texas A&M University and a BS in Agribusiness Management from the Pan American School of Agriculture, San Juan. So Dr. Collard's research interest in outreach efforts focus on horticultural marketing, food and agricultural policy, consumer preferences, and behavioral and experimental economics. Prior to joining the faculty at Mississippi State University, she worked at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Alba, we welcome you to today's program. We appreciate your willingness to be with us to offer your thoughts on how the 2014 Farm Bill may impact producers of horticulture and specialty crops going forward. Please go ahead and begin your presentation.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the introduction. Today, I would like to talk to you about major highlights of the 2014 Farm Bill for specialty crops. As a quick overview, this Farm Bill has been called a victory for specialty crops. Even if traditionally the share of federal spending in specialty crops has been much smaller compared to that of traditional crops, support for specialty crops was considerably expanded in this bill. Overall, there was an increase of about 55% over the funding levels of the 2008 Farm Bill to about $3 billion. I've included in here some funding highlights. These funds will be used to reestablish and expand pre-existing programs, such as the Specialty Crop Research Initiative, the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program, and the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops. But also, they will serve to fund new programs like the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive. Provisions in the bill that are of interest to the specialty crop industry can be found in several titles of the Farm Bill. Today, I will quickly cover about 33 of these provisions. First, let's look at what's new. The definition of a retail food store that can accept SNAP benefits has been expanded to include agriculture producers who market directly to consumers. Farmers markets were already able to accept SNAP benefits, but under this new definition, roadside stands selling fruits and vegetables and producers selling directly to consumers through community-supported agriculture are now able to accept SNAP benefits as well. Two new pilot programs will test how feasible it is for retail food stores to accept SNAP benefits through mobile and online transactions. The pilots should be completed by July 1st, 2016. If these programs are successful, they both will be implemented nationwide by January 1st, 2017, which means that specialty crop producers selling directly to consumers may be able to accept SNAP benefits through online and mobile transactions starting in January 1st, 2017. A new pilot project will help states buy unprocessed fruits and vegetables in a flexible way. What I mean by a flexible way is that states in this pilot program will be able to choose multiple suppliers and products and buy local if they wish. Eight states participating in the National School Lunch Program will be selected based on different criteria, including the quantity and variety of local products, their commitment to farm-to-school efforts, and the quantity of local educational agencies. The secretary will buy pulse products, such as dry beans, dry peas, lentils, and chickpeas, for use in the National School Lunch and Breakfast Programs. They will evaluate the suitability of using these products in school feeding programs in 2016. A new pilot project will also look at the impact of offering canned, frozen, or dried fruits and vegetables on child consumption and school participation. Schools participating in the fresh fruits and vegetables program from at least five states will be selected to participate in this pilot program. Schools that are part of the fresh fruits and vegetables program but that are not part of the pilot will have to continue offering fresh fruits and vegetables. A new program called the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive has been mandated. This program is intended to provide cash incentives to SNAP-eligible households for the purchase of fresh fruits and vegetables at farmers markets. Mandatory funding for this program was set at $135 million over the lifespan of the bill. Also, $5 million have been authorized to be appropriated to be spent in this program. So those are some of the new provisions from the nutrition title. In the credit title, we find some new credit-related assistance for specialty crops. To facilitate lending to local or regional food producers, the Secretary will work on ways to determine the value of local or regional crops, as well as ways for producers to establish a price history for these crops. In the horticulture title, a new study on locally or regionally produced agricultural products has been mandated. This study will serve to collect data on production and marketing practices and the direct and indirect costs for local food systems of complying with regulations, to facilitate data sharing between the private and public sectors, to check the effectiveness of federal programs that have been created to support local food systems and the barriers to market access due to regulation, and to evaluate the contribution of local food systems to two crucial topics, food security and food deserts. Now, organic agriculture is a sector of the food business that is growing very fast, and it received broad support from both parties in this bill. First, the Organic Agriculture Research and Extension Initiative has been reauthorized, and mandatory funding has been increased to $20 million for each fiscal year, 2014 through 2018. This program provides grants to support research and extension activities relevant to organically grown and processed agricultural commodities. This bill expands the definition of agricultural commodity to include certified organics as well. It adds $5 million in funding for the fiscal year 2014 to conduct a technology upgrade for the database and technology systems of the National Organic Program and exempt certified organic producers from paying commodity promotion orders. Also, it established permission for an organic commodity promotion order. Other two programs that have been crucial for organic agriculture have been reauthorized. The Organic Production and Market Data Initiative and the National Organic Certification Cost Share Program. Mandatory funding for the Organic Production and Market Data Initiative remains at $5 million over the life of the bill, while mandatory funding for the Cost Share Program has been increased to $11.5 million for each fiscal year, 2014 through 2018. In total, if we consider the Organic Data Initiative, the Technology Upgrade for the National Organic Program, the Cost Share Program, and the Organic Research and Extension Initiative, we're talking about $167.5 million in mandatory funding to support organic production systems over the lifespan of the bill, which reflects a strong support for organic agriculture in this 2014 Farm Bill. Moreover, the bill tries to help level the field for organic production by expanding price selections for certified producers of organic crops. More emphasis will be given to developing and improving new federal crop insurance for organic producers in terms of the number and varieties of crops insured and the progress of implementing the price selections offer. The bill also grants specific powers to the Secretary of Agriculture to investigate products that are being marketed as organic when they're not. So those are some of the new programs and provisions. However, there are also several programs that were established in previous legislation and that have been reestablished by the 2014 Farm Bill. The tree assistance program has been reestablished to help qualifying tree growers replant or rehabilitate their crops after losses due to natural disasters starting in October 1st, 2011. The trade title reauthorizes the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops program. This is an export assistance program that tries to help overcome sanitary and technical barriers to the export of U.S. specialty crops. It is one of the market development programs managed by the Foreign Agricultural Service, and the funding for this program has been increased to $9 million for each fiscal year 2014 through 2018. The bill also provides trade assistance through the reauthorization of the Market Access Program, a program designed to help build export markets by providing technical assistance and cost sharing of overseas marketing. In the nutrition title, we find important implications for food deserts, school feeding programs, and senior citizens. First, it reauthorizes the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which provides loans, grants, and technical assistance to qualifying fresh, healthy retail food stores to overcome the higher costs and initial barriers to entry in these underserved areas. It reauthorizes the Seniors Farmers Market Nutrition Program, which provides low-income senior citizens with coupons that can be exchanged for fruits and vegetables at farmers markets, roadside stands, and community-supported agriculture programs. And it reauthorizes the purchase of fruits, vegetables, and other specialty crops for distribution to schools and service institutions from $200 million that will be available each fiscal year. To purchase specialty crops, at least 25% will have to be used towards the purchase of fresh products. In terms of rural development, it reauthorizes the Business and Industry Guarantee Loans Program, which is a guarantee loan program managed by the Rural Development Branch of USDA. Also, research and extension, they remain a high priority for specialty crops. The Specialty Crop Committee and Specialty Crop Research Initiative, they have been reauthorized and expanded. The Specialty Crop Committee has been expanded through the establishment of the Citrus Disease Subcommittee, in which domestic producers from Texas, Florida, California, and Arizona will work on identifying research and extension needs of the citrus industry. The Specialty Crop Research Initiative has been expanded through the establishment of the Emergency Citrus Disease Research and Extension Grant Program, and mandatory funding for this initiative has been increased. The Citrus Research and Extension Program will be funded from around 31% of these mandatory funds, plus additional $25 million that have been authorized to be appropriated. Also, a new matching funds requirement has been introduced. Research and extension grant recipients will now have to match at least 100% of the federal funds received after October 1st, 2014. Certain public research agencies and land-grant universities are exempt from these matching funds requirement. And even if nonprofits and other private research organizations are not exempt, the bill does indicate that yearly waivers may be granted in some cases of national interest. The specialty crop block grants have also been reauthorized. Mandatory funding for this program was introduced in the 2008 Farm Bill, but this new bill increases the funding levels to $72.5 million for fiscal years 2014 through 2017 and to $85 million for fiscal years 2018 and thereafter. Some of the changes made include the allowance of funding for multi-state projects dealing with food safety, plant pests and disease research, and commodity-specific projects. Moreover, the grant allocation formula has changed, and the amount of grants to a state now also takes into account how the acreage of specialty crop production in that state compares to the national acreage of specialty crop production. Also, yearly administrative expenses made under this program are limited to 3% for the Secretary of Agriculture and 8% at the state level. The Specialty Crops Market News Allocation has been reauthorized to provide price and shipment information and to increase the reporting levels for specialty crops. The Farmers Market Food Promotion Program, now called the Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program, has been reauthorized and mandatory funding has been introduced. This program provides grants to help improve and expand domestic farmers markets, roadside stands, CSAs, agritourism, and other direct-to-consumer opportunities up to $100,000. Now, even if these funds cannot be used to develop new infrastructure, they have been crucial for the expansion of direct-to-consumer outlets. Mandatory funding has been set at $30 million for each fiscal year, 2014 through 2018. The bill indicates that 50% of the funds will be for projects that deal with domestic farmers markets, roadside stands, CSAs, agritourism, and other direct-to-consumer opportunities, while the other 50% of the funds will be for local and regional food business enterprises. However, if the project doesn't deal with direct-to-consumer opportunities, there is a new matching funds requirement of 25% of the total cost of the project. Food safety education initiatives have been reauthorized to educate the public in food safety in the fresh produce industry. And finally, the National Clean Plant Network and the Pest and Disease Management and Disaster Prevention Program have been consolidated into a single program. Funding for the combined programs has been considerably increased to $62.5 million for each of fiscal years 2014 through 2017 and $75 million for fiscal year 2018 and thereafter. The bill includes other crop and commodity-specific provisions that I will not go into detail today. For example, an industry-funded research and promotion program for Christmas trees will go into effect. There were changes in the notification requirements for plant-incorporated protectants in imported seeds. Bulk shipments of apples to Canada are exempt from the provisions of the Export Apple Act. A new report on the appropriate federal standard for the identity of honey was mandated, among other product-specific provisions. Now, what programs are out? The only provision that was repealed was a grant program previously established to deal with transport deficiencies and the cost effectiveness of moving specialty crops to market. In summary, the 2014 Farm Bill includes considerable support for locally originally produced and market agriculture products, direct-to-consumer marketing, school feeding programs, organic agriculture, and research and extension in the specialty crop industry. Thank you. If you have additional questions after our webinar today, feel free to contact me. Also, make sure to check our blog at mississippistate@econ.msstate.edu, where we're trying to post the latest information as it becomes available. And I'll be happy to take some questions now.
Oh, great, Alba. Thank you very much for those excellent observations on the changes under the new Farm Bill for horticulture and specialty crop producers. We do have several questions that have come in here. So let me get started with those. The first asks, do we know which states are participating in the pilot projects that you mentioned?
No, but one of the things that the Farm Bill specifies is that they will ensure that the pilot programs will be representative, and they will do that by ensuring that at least one project is located in a state in each of the Pacific Northwest, the Northeast, the West, the Midwest, and the South.
Okay, so it'll be a geographical kind of a representativity that they're looking for. Great.
Correct.
Another question asks, do we have an idea at this point how the funds for farmer market development will be made available and when?
I think that is something that it's a great question, but that is something that we will know with a greater certainty as the regulations are written, you know, once they choose which federal agency is going to be in charge of the funds and all the final rules.
Okay, and another kind of a follow-up with that, a questioner asked, do we know if those funds that you mentioned for farmer market development, will they be available for equipment-type purchases?
What it does specify is that they will be available for the expansion of existing farmers markets or existing direct-to-consumer outlets. It doesn't specify, you know, whether it would be available for the purchase of equipment.
So that's something we'll have to track as the rulemaking unfolds here before us, is how those funds will be available for use in support of farmers markets. Great.
Correct.
Well, again, thank you, Alba, for your comments.